evil, but God good. Evil, but God good. Evil, but God good. He says, I did evil, but God good to bring me to this place. So he's moving you down a chain to arrive you at a destiny and a destination that he has planned for you.
Tony Evans here with The Urban Alternative, and I want to welcome all of our friends to today's broadcast, and I'm excited about today's message, the detour of perspectives. We want you to have the right perspective about your detour. We want you to look at it through the right lens, because you can become irritated, frustrated, exacerbated, and just plain mad that God is taking you all around the mulberry bush to get you where he wants you to go. So there needs to be a perspective about what heaven is doing when we're detouring on earth. And we want to help give you that today from the life of Joseph through our series on detours. We want to see and want you to see your detour to destiny, because God has a place he's taking you, just as he had a place he was taking Joseph. So let's find out what the perspective is you ought to have as you try to meander through the detours that God is taking you.
There are many here who are waiting for God to do something. You're waiting for, as the old folks say, your change to come. I didn't sign up for this miserable relationship. I didn't sign up to be stuck in this job. I didn't sign up for this. And when is this thing going to happen that I'm believing God for, asking God for, calling on God for, desiring God for? When do I arrive at my destiny? Well, obviously, that question is going to be different for every person. All I want you to know is that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have one. But let me say this. As you meander through the detours toward your destiny, that is your divine design for your greatest good, his greatest glory, and the advancement of his kingdom, as you maneuver your way there, the thing that will keep you going is having the right perspective. And that's what I want to conclude the series with, as well as transition us over with. I want to make sure that you're looking at the right thing the right way. That's perspective. Perspective is how you perceive or view something. It's how you look at it. And so it is important that you have the right perspective, particularly when you're on a detour, when you're not in the spot, you're not in the sweet spot yet. You're not in that place where you know this is where God has designed you to be. You feel like you're in a faraway place. There is a secret to your spiritual success and arriving at your destiny. So let me show you Joseph's secret. Now, our key verse is chapter 50, verse 20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good to bring me here. Stay with me. If you will look back at chapter 39, track with me, here's what you will read. Chapter 39, verse 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph. Chapter 39, verse 3 says, how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Chapter 39, verse 5 says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Chapter 39, verse 21, Joseph is in prison, says, but the Lord was with Joseph. Chapter 39, verse 23 says, because the Lord was with him. Now let me move over to chapter 41. Chapter 41, verse 16 says, Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, "It's not me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." In verse 28, it says, "It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh." God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 32 says, "Now as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about." The secret to Joseph arriving at his destiny is he refused to leave God out of the equation, no matter what the circumstance was. He gets put in a pit, God is with him. He gets turned over as a slave, God is with him. He gets put in Potiphar's house, God is with him. He gets put in jail, God is with him. Every time we see Joseph in a different situation, whether it's good or bad, we see God. God is not a sometime God for Joseph. God is not a fair weather God for Joseph. Let me say it another way. If you take God seriously, you can never be a victim. See, you can never be a victim to your circumstance, because your circumstance couldn't be your circumstance without God allowing it to become your circumstance. Nothing happened in the life of Joseph that was not approved by God first, even if it was negative. But if the enemy can remove your consideration of God in the circumstance, particularly if it's negative, because we always praise them for the positive, but if the enemy can keep God out of the equation, then you will lose perspective on the treadmill and only see the sweat of the uphill climb. God was the sum total of Joseph's life all through his story. He keeps referencing God no matter what the circumstance was. He keeps bringing God into the equation. The thing that marked Joseph was that he was consumed with God. He keeps bringing God up. Let me tell you something about Joseph. When Joseph starts his life off, he has no credentials. He's a 17-year-old teenager. He gets sent to a foreign land, so he has no personal contacts, political contacts, relational contacts, circumstantial contact. He doesn't know anybody. He's in a foreign place where there is nothing there to assist him. He has no resume when he's picked up. So everything that society looks for to make you a success, he didn't have. He just happened to have God. But in having the fullness of God, God compensated for everything that lacked that society demands. We strive to get everything society says we must have, wind up without God, and wind up being crushed by the society who told us we better get it if we want to get somewhere. Joseph was robbed of everything that mattered in life. They took everything away from Joe except one thing, his destiny. Because his destiny was in God's hands. And if your destiny is in God's hands, I am here to tell you that God will control where you go, where you wind up, in spite of the detours that you have to go through to get there. Now, here's what I want to show you. And it's so obvious that it's easy to miss. In chapter 50, verse 20, our key verse, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result." Let me say it again. "As for you, you meant evil against me." God meant it for good to bring me to this present place. Some of you may be thinking, the devil has me where he wants me. Well, so does God. Because the devil is not the only one in this equation. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Now, here's what I want you to catch. The order. Evil, God, good. Let's go with that order again. Evil, God, good. When you search the scripture, here's how it plays out. When evil shows up and God is put in the equation, good comes out of it. So what the enemy has got to do is he's got to bring evil and keep God out so you don't get the good. Because if he can keep God out of the middle, he can keep evil in control. But the moment you take evil and bring God in the middle, God turns evil into good. That's the equation. And it's the equation all through the Bible. Job found evil. But when he submitted himself to God, God flipped it and made it good. The people were hungry, 5,000. What did Jesus do? He took the mess to God and said, God, you got to feed these people. And now we got good. God turns evil to good when he can get smack dab in the middle. Let me explain what God doesn't want. He doesn't want visitation privileges. He doesn't want to just you to get a visit every now and then, or he to get a visit every now and then. He wants you to get drunk daily. He just wants you to become an intoxicated believer that is consumed with his reality. I dare you to inject God, to overdose. Let's go all the way with it. To overdose on God. I dare you to get so radical that you overdose on God. He said, y'all, you, if they were texting, it'd be y'all. Y'all meant it for evil. But while y'all were planning y'all stuff, God was planning his stuff. And when God was planning his stuff, while y'all were planning your stuff, God decided to use y'all stuff to accomplish his stuff. So y'all were planning y'all stuff. God was planning his stuff. So God said, well, I don't need to start from scratch. I'll just go over here and use their stuff to bring my stuff about. Okay, let's break it down. If Joseph hadn't worn the coat of many colors, then his brothers wouldn't have got all upset and wanted to get rid of him. But if his brothers didn't get upset and want to get rid of him, then they wouldn't have put him in the pit. But because of a father who played favorites with his son, creating jealousy with his siblings, he got put in a pit. That was unfair. But if Joseph hadn't been put in the pit, then the Ishmaelites wouldn't have bought him. Because when they passed by, he wouldn't have been in the pit, because the brothers wouldn't have been jealous, because there wouldn't have been a coat of many colors. But because it was a coat of many colors, and the brothers got jealous, and they put him in the pit, the Ishmaelites bought him and picked him up. But because the Ishmaelites bought him and picked him up, and they happened to be on their way to Egypt, they sold him to a man named Pharaoh. But Pharaoh wouldn't have bought him. Ishmaelites hadn't bought him from his brothers who didn't like him, who had put him in a pit because they were jealous of a coat that his insensitive father gave him. But because his father gave him a coat, creating jealousy in his brothers, causing them to plan to put him in a pit, leading them to sell him to the Ishmaelites, causing him to go to Potiphar's house. But if he hadn't have been sold to Potiphar's house, he wouldn't have run into Mrs. Potiphar. He was sold to Potiphar's house. He runs into Mrs. Potiphar. Mrs. Potiphar tries to seduce him. He turns her down. If he didn't have the coat, the brothers wouldn't have been upset. They wouldn't have put him in a pit. He wouldn't have been sold to the Ishmaelites. He wouldn't have been sold to Potiphar, and he wouldn't have had to deal with Miss Pharaoh. But because he had to deal with Miss Potiphar, he got now put in a place where he's now incarcerated unjustly. But the only reason he's incarcerated unjustly is because he met Mrs. Potiphar, who happened to be married to Mr. Potiphar, and he only met Mr. Potiphar because he had been sold to the Ishmaelites, and he only was sold to the Ishmaelites because he was in a pit caused by jealous brothers because of a coat his father made. But if he wasn't in jail, then he wouldn't have met the baker and the cupbearer, because the baker and the cupbearer were in the same jail that Mrs. Potiphar had him thrown into. So he happened to be in the same jail, a jail he shouldn't have been in and wouldn't have been in, if he hadn't been sold to Mr. Potiphar, met Mrs. Potiphar, because the Ishmaelites picked him up after buying him from his brothers, who didn't like him because of the coat he was wearing. But because he's now in jail with the cupbearer and the baker, they have a dream and need an interpreter. He just happened to be in the right place with the right gift at the right time to help them with their dream. But he wouldn't have been there if he hadn't have been put there by being charged with a crime he didn't commit, by being sold in a way he shouldn't have been sold, by brothers who were jealous because of a father who made him a coat. But if he wasn't in jail, then when the cupbearer heard that Pharaoh had a dream, he couldn't say that I know a guy in jail named Joseph who interprets dreams because he interpreted my dream. The only reason that the cupbearer could tell Pharaoh about Joseph is Joseph was in jail with the cupbearer. But the only reason Joseph was in jail with the cupbearer is because he was put in prison unjustly because he was in Miss Potiphar's house. And the only reason he's in Miss Potiphar's house is Mr. Potiphar bought him. And the only reason Mr. Potiphar bought him is because the Ishmaelites sold him. And the only reason the Ishmaelites sold him is because they bought him from his brothers. And the only reason they bought him from his brothers is because his brothers were jealous. And the only reason the brothers were jealous is because he had a coat from an insensitive father. So now he's interpreting a dream from Pharaoh. Pharaoh now says, send Joseph to me. Pharaoh only calls Joseph because he was in jail with the cupbearer. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh now makes him second in charge in Egypt. Wait a minute. How are you going to be second in charge of Egypt? You don't have a political degree. You don't have a resume. You don't have background. You're not even Egyptian. You don't even belong to the same race. But he gets second in Egypt by Pharaoh because he interprets a dream only because the cupbearer remembered him 2 years later, only because he was in jail when he wasn't supposed to be, only because Pharaoh bought him, only because his brother sold him to the Ishmaelites, and only because his father made a coat. On top of that, when his brothers needed to get something to eat, they had to come up to Egypt and ask Joseph, how are we going to get some food? He says, I'm going to feed you. But wait a minute. How are you going to feed your brothers from Canaan in Egypt? Well, the only reason I'm here in Egypt and can feed my brothers is because I've been made second in charge. And I only been making second in charge because I interpreted the dream. And I only interpreted the dream because the cupbearer remembered me. And the cupbearer remembered me because I interpreted his dream. And the only reason I was in the same place with the cupbearer is that Potiphar's wife put me here. And the only reason she put me here is because I was working for Potiphar. And the only reason I was working for Potiphar is because the Ishmaelites sold me. And the only reason the Ishmaelites sold me was because my brothers were jealous of me. And the only reason my brother was jealous of me is my daddy made me a coat I never asked for. How did all this happen out of a coat I never even asked for? Oh, but that ain't the end of the story. Because the brothers now moved their whole family to Egypt. Because Egypt is where the food is. But when they moved their whole family to Egypt, God now bursts his people, the Jewish nation, in the land of Egypt. Well, wait a minute. How we get a whole nation coming from 12 brothers because Joseph happened to be there, second in command, when it all started with a coat he never asked for? Because God can take one evil after another evil, one mess after another mess, one situation after another situation, and still bring you to your destiny. Success is not what you have, it's who you have. I'm not putting down education. I'm not putting down preparation. I'm putting down not having God in the middle. It says evil, God, then good. Some of you are waiting. You're waiting for God to turn it, to change it, to tweak it. The tendency is when you're down to give up on God. The worse it is, the harder you run to him. Okay? The more miserable it is, the more aggressive you go after him. It's easy to praise him, worshiping him in the sunshine. But if it's storming outside, I want you to make your praise happen. Force your praise out. And I want you to run to God in the dark. Because he's available. If you do anything this year, I know you're looking for blessings, you're looking for destiny, and rightly so. But I'm giving you the secret. It's Joseph's secret. He didn't know when God was going to do any of this. Look, it took him 13 years before, after being put away as a slave, before he even gets to Pharaoh. It takes another 22 total years before he connects with his brothers again. So this is a 22-year saga in his life. It took Moses 40 years before God could get him where he wanted him to take him to his destiny. It took Noah 120 years before God could get him to the place where God would fulfill his promise to him. It took Jesus 30 years before God launched him into public ministry. So just because you got a year or two of inconvenience, just because you got a little time where it's not working out like you like it, just know that when you are, see, what we want is a microwave God when God is more of a crock pot God. He wants to smooth that thing and he wants to let that thing bubble and sit and simmer until it's cooked through and through, until the transformation occurs fully in your life. So I want you to go after your destiny. Go before God and to say, God, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to overdose on you. I'm going to overdose on you. God, I'm getting ready to get on your nerves in this new year. I'm going to worry you to death. Not that I can worry you to death, but if I could, I would, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to dog you, God. I'm going to go after you. I'm going to, as David said, as the deer pants after the water brook. I'm going to pant after you, oh God. I'm coming after you. I am going to not let you go like Jacob. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I am not going to let you go till you show me what you have for me. You're going to get tired of me. I want you to give it all. Because we've been alive long enough to know this world can only give you so much. And what it gives you, it tries to take. Here's how you'll know that God is working on your behalf. It won't be because there's no challenges. It won't be because nothing's wrong. You'll know that God is working on your behalf. Because every time it looks like you're going down, you bounce back. Every time it looks like you're going to lose, something turns it. That means God, evil, but God, good. See, when you see evil, but God, good. Evil, but God, good. What is he doing? Evil, but God, good. Evil, but God, good. Evil, but God, good. He says, I did evil, but God, good, to bring me to this place. So he's moving you down a chain to arrive you at a destiny and a destination that he has planned for you. So he keeps bouncing you back in the middle of it. When I was a boy growing up in Baltimore, my father bought me a balloon punching bag. I love that balloon punching bag, and no matter what I did to it, it kept coming back. I'd hit it, boom, it hit the floor, bam, then it would bounce back, bing. I'd go, boom, it would hit the floor, bam, it would bounce back, bing. I'd go, boom, boom, it would go, bam, bam, then it would bounce back, bing. One time I kicked it, it hit the wall, hit the ceiling, and it came back. Bam, 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 bing. No matter what I did to it, it kept coming back. The reason it kept coming back is there was a weight at the bottom that was heavier than the air at the top. So no matter what I did to it up here, down there determined where things wound up. I don't know what the new year holds for you, but I can guarantee you somewhere down the line, something's going to go bam. And you're going to go bam. But if you're on the right foundation, you're coming back, bing. Something else may go bam, bam. And you may go boom, boom. But if you're on the right foundation, you're coming back, bing. In fact, the devil may come after you with all he's got. He may go bam, 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 just hit you every which way. And you may go boom, 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 boom. But if you wrestle on the right foundation, you coming back. Bing.
Well, we hope you're blessed. We hope you're benefiting. We hope you're growing through this ministry of the Word on Detours. And to help you grow even deeper, we have a book, a brand new book, Detours, taking these principles, relating them to your life so that you're able to experience life through the twists and turns God takes you through and benefit from what He wants to teach you through those turns. Contact us here at The Urban Alternative, 1-800-800-3222. Or log on to TonyEvans.org and get your copy of Detours for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Would you generously give us what you can so that we can stay strong and minister to you and others so that we all grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? So contact us here at The Urban Alternative. Get your copy of Detours. Thank you for your generous contribution to our ministry, and God bless you richly.